Well, now that our festival is finished, you know what that means? School is right around the corner. I'm sure all of our children are excited about that. Probably your parents are excited about that. I don't know about grandparents, whether that makes a big difference when school is in or not. You'll have to let me know. But anyway, I thought this was a good opportunity, this parable that Jesus tells about the weeds and the wheat, a good opportunity to put back on our thinking caps and, you know, get our minds back in the rhythm of learning. You know, because even if you're way past the school age, we all need to, at times, learn something new about our faith. So let me suggest to you two principles that can help us understand better this parable of the weeds and the wheat. And they are predestination and domestication. See, they even rhyme. One of them, of course, is a theological principle. The other is a principle of farming. So let's have some fun. We'll start with predestination. The doctrine of predestination comes right out of the Bible, and it is the idea that each one of us was made by God to be with him in heaven. That he has predestined us to heaven. That is the reason why every one of us has been made. Now, of course, God's grace doesn't take away our free will. So we can still choose to commit mortal sin. We can still refuse to repent. And in doing so, to reject our heavenly destination and choose hell. But it's still a very consoling doctrine to remind ourselves that God made us for one reason. And that is to be with him in heaven. So, if that is the doctrine of predestination, what exactly is Jesus saying when he says in the gospel today that there are essentially two kinds of seeds, two kinds of people in the world, right? There are the good people, the wheat, which he says he has planted, and then there are the bad people, the weeds, right, which he says the devil has planted. That actually sounds like a different doctrine, the doctrine of double predestination, which is that, yes, some people were made by God to go to heaven, but other people were made by God specifically to go to hell. That is a really, if you think about it, a terrifying doctrine or idea. We, of course, consider it to be a heresy, but there are Christians who believe that. And think about how terrifying that would be to believe that if you were one of those people that God just made for hell, that there would be nothing that you could do to escape that. And especially, what a serious temptation it would be if, for those of us who have fallen into some serious sin, or especially some kind of a habitual sin, you know, if I have fallen into the sin of abortion or adultery, or I'm addicted to drugs or alcohol, it would be so easy for me to simply say, I must be a weed, right? God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. There is no hope for me, right? You see what an easy temptation that would be to fall into. So, of course, we reject that idea, but a very quick reading of this gospel might give you the idea that Jesus is talking about double predestination here. Now, we know that he can't be, because if we were to interpret the parable in that way, we would make Jesus contradict so many other things that he says. How could Jesus say, for example, I have come not to the righteous, but to save sinners? Or how could he say, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself? If he knew that, in fact, some of us were made to go to hell. So you see, that just doesn't make any sense. So we don't believe that that is what Jesus means. Now, you might say, all right, Father, you have me convinced that double predestination is a bad idea. But we still have to deal with the fact that Jesus says that some people are children of the kingdom and other people are children of the evil one. Again, that really sounds like double predestination. So if that's not what Jesus is teaching us here, what is he teaching us? What does that mean exactly? And see, here I think is where the principle of domestication can help us. So centuries before anyone ever coined the term genetic engineering, you know, we human beings have been doing it. We call it selective breeding or domestication. That if we take a population of plants or animals, we can bring out those certain traits that are most beneficial for us as human beings, right? So it is thanks to domestication that we have the dog rather than the wolf. That it's thanks to domestication that we have the dairy cow rather than the wandering herd of wild cattle. And it is thanks to domestication that we have the modern wheat plant. You know, we often forget that, but wheat is a domesticated plant. Archaeologists have uncovered tons of evidence that hundreds of years ago, when the human beings first started farming, that in fact the little kernels of the wheat plants were much, much smaller and had much less nutritious value. But over the years of farmers choosing to plant the largest seeds and to grow their crops from the largest wheat seeds that they could find, we domesticated wheat. And now the kernels of wheat are larger and able to provide us with the nourishment we need for real food. So, the common theme that runs across all domesticated plants and animals is that the reason that they exist, their purpose, is not just found in themselves, but is found outside of themselves, in something greater than just themselves, right? The dairy cow produces more milk than her calves could ever need because she's meant to produce milk also for us as human beings. So now if we go back to that parable of the weeds and the wheat, what is the real difference between the weeds and the wheat? It's exactly that, right? The weeds exist for only themselves. The seeds of the wheat, or the weed, only exist to perpetuate the life of the parent plant. But the wheat exists for something more than just itself, right? It exists for someone, for the consumption of human beings. And I think that really is what Jesus is talking about when he says you can be either children of the kingdom or children of the evil one. Because, again, since we are creatures of free will who can choose our goal, who can choose our end, you know, sometimes when we say that I am a child of something or someone, we're not so much talking about our origin, where we came from, as we are talking about our goal, our end, like where we are going to, right? And so if my real goal in life, the purpose of my life, is self-satisfaction and pleasure and happiness and self-actualization, not that any of those things are bad, of course, but if that is the real purpose of my life, I have become a weed, a child of the evil one. But if the purpose of my life extends beyond myself, if I find my goal in love of God and love of neighbor, in service to God and service to neighbor, then I truly have become wheat, a child of the kingdom, because my purpose lies outside of myself. So, I don't know how helpful that will really be, but those are a couple of reflections that might help us understand this parable. So maybe I encourage you to think about this week those two principles. First of all, to thank God for the great gift of predestination, that no matter what sin or what evil or what error we have fallen into in life, as long as we are alive, there is hope. We can repent and we can still make it to heaven as God desires. But at the same time, to really challenge ourselves with that question, have I been domesticated to the kingdom of God? You know, do I truly try to serve God and neighbor? Do I find my end, my goal, outside of myself and in Christ Jesus?